The epistle for the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the 11th chapter. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made him? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Be ye merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall they give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you shall meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." And he spoke also to them a similitude. "Can the blind lead the blind? Do they not both fall into a pit? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone shall be perfect if he be as his master. And why seest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but the beam that is on thy own eye thou considerest not? How canst thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote out of thy eye,' when thou thyself seest not the beam in thy own eye? Hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to take out the mote from thy brother's eye." Those are the words of today's Holy Gospel. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven." These are words taken from the proper last gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, to illustrate the point of those words, "Forgive, and you shall be forgiven," I'd like to recount some of the events of the life of St. Alphage. St. Alphage was the Bishop of Canterbury in England, and he died in the year 1012. Although he's not a martyr for the faith, he was put to death by his enemies. You see, it happened during his life that the Danes, the people from the Danish country, captured the city of Canterbury, and in defiance to the pleadings of the good bishop, they treated the inhabitants with the greatest cruelty. They imprisoned the good bishop on one of their ships so that his influence and his prayers for mercy would be removed from the people. Soon after this, though, an epidemic broke out in the city, and in an unthinkable hypocrisy, the captors boarded their ship where St. Alphage was being kept under guard, and they asked the holy archbishop to intercede for them. The archbishop, of course, prayed for his suffering people and even for the enemies, his captors, and remarkably, his prayer was heard. In little time at all, the pandemic went away, and reason should have directed these men then to heap honors and praise upon this man who had saved them by his powerful prayers. But unfortunately, this was not the case. Once they were free of the plague and back to full health, they doubled their persecution of the bishop. One night, in a fit of drunkenness, some of the guards started pelting him with stones, the skulls of dead animals, everything filthy that they could find. And the stoning was so terrible and painful, especially because it was meant to wound and to bruise the bishop and not bring about his death. So terrible was the cruelty of this punishment that it reached to a point where one of the misguided Danes executed a plan that he thought would end this unfair treatment. He knew he couldn't turn the hearts of his fellow captors, so he put an axe through the skull of the suffering bishop. And the dying words of St. Alphage were, "Jesus, receive me in peace and forgive them." And my dear friends, stories like this can make us a little uneasy at times. For it might happen that we have someone in our own lives that is very hard to forgive. There might be a difference of opinion, or some words that have been exchanged, or any one of 100 causes that might blind us and lead us to conclude that I don't need to forgive this offense. But when we see examples like the great saints, like Saint Alphage, our conscience begins to rebuke us. We start to ask ourselves, when was the last time that this person I find hard to forgive exiled me on a filthy boat where I could do no good works? When was the last time that this supposed enemy of mine was one who I called down the power of heaven to save from a pandemic, and yet they treated me with abuse and cruelty? When was the last time this person put an axe through my skull? We start to realize with these and similar questions that maybe our forgiveness is not what it should be. Maybe we haven't caught the full importance of our Lord's words, "Be ye merciful as your Father also is merciful." God the Father is perfection itself. His mercy extended all the way to sacrificing his only begotten Son for our salvation. This is the standard that's set before us. Our Lord did not say, "Be merciful and forgiving as the next person is merciful and forgiving to you." He did not say, "Look around you, and if you are surrounded by loving and forgiving people, then forgive them as well." He said that we are to be as forgiving as our Father in heaven. Our Father, who at one point looked down from heaven and saw all mankind as debtors and sinners in his sight, and yet still extended his forgiveness to all and sent his only begotten Son to die for our salvation. It is very important, my dear friends, to remind ourselves of the importance of forgiveness in our Lord's eyes. For in the world today, there are many who offend God, and there are many who offend those who love God and strive to practice virtue. But it does not remove our obligation of forgiveness. We are still required to be forgiving and charitable in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. This, of course, does not mean that we in any way fail to uphold the laws of God, but rather that in our lives we are called upon nearly every day to hate a sin, but to love a sinner. In our thoughts, then, we must constantly be ready to pray for those who injure us. If we cannot excuse their actions, we must at least excuse them on the account of ignorance or lack of grace. We have to think to ourselves along the lines of Saint Francis of Assisi, who would say, "Who knows but that I would fall into those exact same sins, or I would be in an even worse state if it weren't for so many graces and blessings that God has given to me." Even if our enemies are outright scoundrels, like the Danes were in their persecuting of the innocent people of Canterbury, we, like Saint Alphage, have to pray for them that they be converted. Following these thoughts of forgiveness and mercy come our words. There is enough evil in the world. We do not need to broadcast the faults, the failings of our enemies. Saint Bernard gave a very vivid description of how evil this can be. He stated that the tongue of a detractor is like a three-edged sword, keeping in mind that detraction is saying something that really happened or that is really evil. It's not lying about another, but simply saying what their faults and failings are. Saint Bernard called this the three-edged sword. He said, with the one edge of the sword, it destroys the reputation of our neighbor. The second wounds the souls of those who listen to the detraction. And the third edge of the sword kills the soul of the detractor by depriving him of divine grace. This is quite something to keep in mind in the world today. For how many people are engulfed in finding out the newest and latest travesty that is being committed by the enemies of God? How many seemingly infinite sources of news there are that spread gossip of every sort throughout the world? And to think that for every one of these stories that is spread, and God forbid spread by one of us, we are disseminating that three-edged sword. we are thrusting it into our own lives. How much more peace would there be in the world today if instead of spreading the faults and failings of others, we learn to use our gift of speech for prayers of petition rather than spreading the latest news. It was this very idea that led St. Robert Bellarmine to declare that 1 ounce of charity is worth more than 1,000 loads of reason. By that he meant that one prayer for poor sinners or for our enemies is worth more than 1,000 conversations of how terrible are their actions or how justified we might seem in contradicting them. And finally, our forgiveness must show in action. To be sullen or aloof, to keep ourselves distanced from others, even those who have offended us, is not being merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. It is true that we must never entertain a free occasion of sin. That is not the type of thing we're talking about. In our actions, what we're talking about is someone who has had a difference of opinion with us, or maybe words have flown back and forth between us in the past. Someone who we don't see eye to eye with. Is this the type of person that we can treat with coldness and indifference simply because we don't see their point of view in one matter or another? If we find ourselves at odds, especially with one who practices the same faith, then we are not practicing that forgiveness and mercy that God would have us practice as our merciful Father does in heaven. We have to be on our guard to practice charity and forgiveness to all, even those who we might not see eye to eye with. This is incumbent upon us from our Lord's words to be merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful. St. Alphonsus actually says that charity must above all be practiced to those who oppose us. That is what we saw in the life of St. Alphage. And it was an exact fulfillment of our Lord's command, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that persecute and calumniate you. Let all of us then, my dear friends, take to heart these words of our Lord. Our dear Savior never exaggerated or said fanciful things. He would not put before us a goal that he knows cannot be accomplished. When he was setting down his New Testament, whereby men would follow the path to heaven, he gave us instructions that he meant for us to follow to their very letter. And in the instructions that we will read from the altar at the end of Mass, that proper last gospel, we are told to be merciful even as his Father is merciful. God has set himself as the bar for how much mercy he wants us to practice. He, being a perfectly infinite being, is perfectly merciful, and so he would want us to be the same in all of our thoughts, words, and actions. And if we are merciful and forgiving towards others, then we can expect the same mercy to continue from God. We can be confident that he who blessed the forgiveness of St. Alphage with a heavenly reward will do the same for us when it comes our time to enter eternity. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.